right, have a seat if you will. Get your Bibles out. We're going to use our Bibles quite a bit at the beginning of the night. Then there'll come a point that I'll ask you just to shut your Bible and then listen for a little while. Let me do this. Let me say, when I became pastor here, I started a series on the Word of God. And the reason why is because I wanted God to work in our church in a very, very special way. And He has. He has worked in our church. But I think some of you remember back. We started talking about the Word of God and the importance of the Word of God. We talked about memorizing it. We talked about visualizing it and personalizing it and harmonizing it. We went through the Bible and we found all the different ways that God referred to His Word. Remember, it was like a lamp and like a hammer. It was like fire and like bread and so on. I think somewhere near, 32 different sermons, 32 weeks in a row about the Word of God. Right now, I'm working on putting that 32 sermon series on what's called an MP3 formatted disc, and we're going to make them available across the country. I've had lots of people ask about them, but that's what we did. We studied the Word of God for 32 straight weeks. From there, we went to the subject of the Great Commission, or soul winning. And we started out talking about what is soul winning. And we talked about soul winning in the Holy Spirit, and soul winning in boldness, and soul winning with our families. And then we expanded it using the Great Commission, the Great Commission being in three parts: getting people saved, then getting people baptized, then following up on them or discipling them so they could go and learn the very same thing. And I think 28 or 29 weeks in a row, we talked about the Great Commission. We concluded it last week. If you remember the little lesson I taught last week about the mathematics of the Great Commission. Well, I did that because I wondered, what are the things that I struggle with in my Christian life? And to be very honest with you, the top three things that I have to work on the most in my Christian life are these. I have to work on staying in my Bible. I have to work on that constantly. I'm constantly on myself about reading my Bible. Well, what else? I've constantly got to challenge myself about my soul winning. I can come up with 101 excuses why I shouldn't go out soul winning, why I'm too busy and other things come up, just like you make the same excuses. So I'm constantly working on myself in the area of soul winning. I'm constantly working on myself in the area of reading my Bible. And there's another area. I have to stay on myself continuously. I have to require myself to pray. I have to work on myself in regard to my prayer life. If someone asked me, what are the three things that if a Christian could master, they could master most of the rest of the things, and it would be Bible reading, soul winning, and prayer. Three things that we just have to constantly work on. Now, maybe you're not like me, but those three things are a constant challenge for me. I've been preaching for 26 plus years, and still to this day, there are times when I want to get lazy. I don't want to read my Bible. I want to get lazy. I don't want to pray. I don't want to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. And I think because they are such highly spiritual things, I think the devil fights us about those things. He tries to slow us down. But those three things are the ones I struggle with the most. And so tonight, we go to a third topic that I need. I need to learn more about prayer. I received a telephone call on Monday. I was out at the house spending some time with my wife on Monday for a while, and my phone rang. I heard an old gravelly voice. I recognized the voice right away, and the fellow said, "Brother Owens," he said, "how you doing?" He said, "listen to me." He said, "I got a hold of some of your tapes." And he kept on talking, and he said this. He said, "I hear things miraculously are happening there in West Virginia." He said, "listen," he said, "would you mind if we started a column in our newspaper and you write it, and I want you to teach the preachers across America what you're doing in that church to see that kind of a revival?" And I said, "sure, I would be glad to." And so I started working on a series for a column in a Christian publication, a newspaper called Regions Beyond. And we went to work on that. But he asked me, he said, "tell me, what in the world are you doing?" I said, "well, I can tell you this. There are two things that I've done already. I'm about to do the third." I said, "number one, our church exalts the Word of God. We lift it up. We believe it. We promote it." I said, 30 straight weeks on Wednesday night, we taught on nothing but the Word of God. And it wasn't 10-minute Bible studies. They were 45 and 50 and 60. You remember them. And I said, and no sooner did we get that done, we went into a series on soul winning. And I said, for 28 or 29 weeks, and I was all excited. Now I'm on the telephone with him. I said, and this week we're starting on prayer. And I can't wait till we can learn about prayer. I said, I can guarantee you one thing, the Bible, prayer, and soul winning have an awful lot to do with what God is doing in this place. And I am totally convinced of that. I want us to take a few minutes, first of all, I want you to get your Bibles all oiled up and get ready to start turning those hinges, those pages, if you will. And we're going to look at about 7 or 8 different verses. And from there, I want to teach you something about prayer this evening. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. And we'll make this happen as quickly as we possibly can. Matthew chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse 7 and 8. I'll tell you what let's do. Every one of these verses, let's all read them aloud and together. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7, and verse number 8, let's read together. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and that he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Look back at me for a second, and let me point something out to you. There's a word that keeps showing up in one form or another in these verses. It says, ask, and it shall be given to you. You go down here, and in verse number 8, it says, for everyone that asketh, receiveth. Now, let's look at Matthew chapter 7, verse number 11, and let's read that aloud together. Ready? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Huh, ask. There it is again. Ask, ask. Now, I want us to go to Matthew chapter 21. And we're going to look at verse number 22. Matthew 21, verse number 22. Matthew chapter 21, verse number 22. You watch and see if that word occurs in this verse. Here we go. Let's read aloud together. Matthew 21, 22. Ready? And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. There it is again. There's that word ask connected to this thing called prayer. Now take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 11, verse number 13. Luke chapter 11, verse 13. We have looked at 1, 2, 3, 4 verses so far. Every one of them are talking about asking for something. Luke chapter 11, verse number 13. And once you find it, let's get ready to read it. Let's watch for that special word. Here we go. Ready? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Much like one that we read earlier, but definitely the same word, the word ask, ask, ask. Now, let's look at John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we're going to go to verse number 14. John 14, verse 14. John 14, 14, once you find it, we'll read together. Ready? John 14, 14. And remember, look and watch for that special word. Here we go. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. There it is again. Ask, ask, ask. Now go to John chapter 16, just a couple pages over, a couple chapters over, if you will. John chapter 16, verse number 24. John 16, 24, watch for that special word. Here we go. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. There it is, twice, ask and ask. And it says, hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, he said. You've not asked for anything. God's suggestion was then ask. Let's go to another passage of Scripture. We'll just do one more. James chapter 4. Turn toward the back of your Bible to James chapter 4. We're going to look at verse number 2. James chapter 4, verse number 2. I think this will be the 8th passage of Scripture that we looked at in regard to this topic. Ask. James 4, 2. Let's read it together. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. All right? Now, look back at me, if you will. This is the title of my sermon tonight. Real prayer is asking for something. Real prayer is asking for something. Mrs. Owens, I don't know if she'll be glad I tell you this, but I'm going to tell you. Mrs. Owens and I have been struggling with our eyesight just a little bit. We've not been seeing quite as well as we used to. It was a joke for a while with us. Then it got a little more serious because I couldn't read the map and I handed it to her and she couldn't read the map, so we handed it to the kids, so we always ended up lost, and so it wasn't working very well. And so we finally decided, and I don't know if you all did it this way, but we finally decided we needed to go to the optometrist. But the thing is, we needed to go 3 years ago, but I wouldn't admit that I needed to go and have my eyes checked. The optometrist, while I was sitting there, the doctor said, how long... how did she ask that? She said, Pastor Owens, how long have you been struggling? I said, about 3 years. She said, are you 43? I said, well, yes, I am. She said, many people. And she said, about the target year is about their 40th birthday or so. They begin to struggle with their eyes some. How many of you are 39? Let me tell you all. Bob Jones raising his hand and Joan Kane. How many of you are liars? Hey, if you're 39, get ready. Next year, you're going to go blind. We were struggling with our eyesight. Couldn't see very well. I couldn't see to read like I wanted to. And finally, I didn't even agree to the appointment. I came home from my preaching engagement in Guyon, Alabama, and there was a little note on the cover door that said, "You have an eye appointment at such and such time." So we went in, and they agreed that I needed reading glasses. They agreed that Mrs. Owens needed reading glasses. Well. That was no problem. But here's the thing. Have you ever seen the places that sell reading glasses? How many different styles, colors, frames, and all that? Now, let me explain, though. I walked over to the rack, looked at a pair, took them off, put them on, said, these are the ones. Bang. She's done, baby. Like that, I'm thinking, I'm going to waste my life in here. Anyways. But then, Mrs. Owens needed to pick her frames. She looked at glasses that she liked. She took the time to look at glasses she didn't like. She said, oh, I don't like these. She puts them on. Oh, I don't like any of these. She tries every one on that she does not like. She looked at things that she knew she did not want. Then she looked at things that she might want. Then she looked at some things that she did want. Then she looked at colors of lenses that she did not want because... they were pretty, but she didn't want them. She looked at lens shapes that she did not want. Then she looked at lens shapes she could want. Then she looked at lens shapes she possibly would wear. Then she looked at frames she did not want. She looked at frames that she could want. Then she looked at frames that she would definitely wear. I was tired of looking at frames. I was reading Reader's Digest with my new glasses that they had already taken care of in the amount of time that she was picking glasses. Now, she and I approached getting what we wanted totally different. I buy, she shops. It's the same way with shoes. Let me explain shoes at our house. She could shop for days for a pair of shoes. She could shop for colors and styles and heels and buckles and bows and open and closed and leather and non-leather. And I walk into JCPenney's anywhere on the face of the earth. I open one door, walk straight to the Florishon, size 11, black, pick up the box, go to the counter, pay for it, walk out the same door I walked in. I can do it in 9 minutes and 37 seconds. I go to my car and I go do something productive with my life. When she says, "Honey, I need a pair of shoes," I think, "Oh, tribulation period. 7 years worth. This could be forever." I mean, it's amazing. I never try the shoes on that I buy. I know exactly what I want. I know exactly where they're at. I know exactly how much they cost. I just buy and walk. That's the way I do it. Mrs. Owens can take 10 minutes to try on a pair of shoes she does not even want. It's just because they're there. Now, the way she does it is not bad. Stupid, but it's not bad. I'm a man. She's a woman. And honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. Ladies, if that's how you shop, that's how ladies shop. That's okay. I don't have a problem with it. But we're different. But I tell you those stories for a reason. Many of us approach our prayer life like we're shopping rather than we're going to get something. I think if you let me, if you're not argue over little tidbits of what I'm about to teach, I think I could tell you why most of you say, "You know, I don't feel like I get my prayers answered." Can I tell you why? I think I can tell you why many of you feel like you don't get your prayers answered. You don't ask for anything. The average Christian does not pray when they say they're praying. You see, prayer is asking for something. Listen, Matthew 7, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." You see, here it talks about three things: ask, seek, knock. You see, prayer is asking and then receiving. When one knocks, they're expecting something to be opened. When one is seeking, they're expecting to find something. And so that's what prayer is. Prayer is asking, then expecting to receive. It is seeking and expecting to find. It is knocking with an expectation of receiving the purpose of the knock. Now, what was the purpose of the knock? That you got something. What did you get? The door was swung open. See, James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3 says this: "Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because you ask not." You have not because you ask not. But Owens, why in the world does it seem like God doesn't answer my prayer? Well, let me ask you something. Are you asking for something? And I'll show you more what I mean in a moment. It goes on to say, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust." Christians have not because they ask not. And then it says, "You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss." But notice in that verse, ask is the key. You have not. Why? Why don't you have what you need? Well, many times it's because you ask not. Heard a story once. Someone gave this as an illustration. A man, a Christian man, he died, and he went to heaven. When he got to heaven, he was getting a little tour of heaven, and they took him in this room, and the room was magnificent, full of gold and silver and jewels. And as the guy was looking, he said, "In the room was everything he would have ever dreamed of having. I mean, this room was piled from the floor to the ceiling, and it was so massive, it was huge." And he said to St. Pete, he said, "Wow, what in the world is this room, this treasure room? It's incredible." And St. Pete said, "Those are all the things that God wanted to give you, but you never asked." I think sometimes we're going to get to heaven someday, and when we get up there, God's going to say, "Why didn't you believe me? I told you to ask. I had things for you, but you never asked." You know, part of it is because we plan to do it ourselves. Another part is we study this in men's prayer meeting. It takes character to pray. Prayer is work. You all know that. It's something you have to work at if you're going to do it consistently. But I'm here to tell you this evening, one of the main reasons why we don't get things in prayer is because we don't ask for things in prayer. We're not really praying when we pray, because prayer is asking. You do not get things from God because you desire them. If you sit around and say, oh, I really want that, well, good. Desire is not prayer. Prayer is asking. You don't get things from God because you worry about them. Oh, I'm just so worried about the rent. I'm so worried about the rent. I'm so worried about... Worry does not produce anything but ulcers. You don't get what you worry about. You get what you pray about, and prayer is asking. You don't get things from God because you think about them. If you stand and think about something... That doesn't mean you're going to get it. I'm just going to think on this. You can think on it all you want. While you're there thinking on it, God is going, come on. Come on. Come on. Everybody in heaven is going, what are you doing down there? Come on. You can think about it all you want, but you don't get what you think about. You have not because you ask not. You say, boy, I just admire that. Well, you don't get what you admire. You get what you ask for. You get things from God because you ask for them. What I'm teaching is so simple, it's incredible, but it could revolutionize some of your Christian lives. So let me start the outline and listen very carefully. Number one, true prayer is asking. There are two principal words in the New Testament for prayer or asking. One is asking a question. You know, how are you doing? That's one of the words for ask in the New Testament. There's a second word, and the word ask means this. It means to crave, desire, call for, and to want and ask for. Now that is prayer. The word ask means that we call for it. We're actually requesting it. I counted, and I was looking in my Greek New Testament, I counted about 30 times in the New Testament very quickly how often this word ask is used. And it is so often used when someone prayed, they were desiring and therefore requesting something from God. Prayer is asking, folks. Now, do you believe God listens? I believe God listens. Hey, Psalm 65:2 says, thou that hearest prayer. I believe he listens. Do you believe that he answers? Well, Hebrews 11:6 says that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe he listens. I believe he answers. The big problem is usually that we don't ask. We don't ask him for what we want. We make prayer too complicated. We add so many different things to this subject of prayer that sometimes we don't pray. We spend more time with other things than we do the actual prayer. He wants to provide our needs. I think sometimes the big holdup is we don't ask him to provide our needs. Now, of course, let me qualify that. You say, can I have anything I ask for? No, no, you're to pray in the will of God. You're to pray those things that he would be willing to give you. You know, if you pray for a six-pack of beer, he's not going to give that to you. But the problem is we don't really ask. The average person in this room maybe has asked God for two or three things today. Stop. Draw a little circle around yourself. Stand in that circle and answer this question. How many things did you ask God for today? You. The average person didn't ask him for hardly anything. We're self-dependent. We'll take care of ourselves. And the men in prayer meeting will recognize some of the things I'll say. But God is so good, he takes care of us anyway. And as a result of that, some of us will never pray. I got food. Why pray for it? Well, there may come a day when you'll need to pray for it. There may come a day. But let me say, number one, prayer is asking. Number two, this is very simple. Prayer is not really praise. Praise and prayer are two different things. Praise is a wonderful thing. Psalm 50 verse 23 says, "Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me." Hey, I am for praise. Praise God. We ought to praise God. But wait, praise and prayer are two different things. Prayer is what? Asking. Prayer is what? Asking. Prayer and praise are two different things. So many times you go to your knees and praise, which I'm glad you do, but let me tell you something. That's not prayer. Prayer is asking. Praise is something different. You may do them at the same time. You may praise for a little while and then pray, but the average person spends more time praising than praying. You wonder why you don't get what you ask for. It's because the average person never asks for anything. Psalm 150 verse 6 says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Praise is good. I think we ought to praise God. We ought to praise Him. Everything that hath breath ought to praise Him. But praise and prayer are not the very same thing. Psalm 103 verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." Hey, it is a blessed thing to praise. We ought to bless God. But I'll tell you something. Blessing to God, praising God, is not praying, because praying is asking. It's a duty for every Christian to praise God. We ought to praise Him for His wonderful works to the children of men. We ought to praise Him for His goodness and His mercy. But wait a minute. If you got on your knees for 15 minutes today and said, "I praise you, I 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 praise you," you get up and say, "Well, I prayed." No, you didn't. You didn't ask for a thing. All you did was praise. And so I say to you, prayer is asking. Praise is not prayer. They're not exactly the same thing. You may do them in the same setting. You may get on your knees and praise, but you better make sure you're praying. You know, the disciples, Jesus was a great preacher, but they didn't say to Him, "Teach us to preach." I think Jesus was a great healer, but they did not say, "Teach us to heal." You know what the disciples asked Jesus? "Teach us to pray. Teach us how to get things from God." Hey, folks, let me tell you one of the keys to getting things from God. Ask. 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 See, prayer and praise are not exactly the same thing. Praise is not asking. We are to pray and ask. Number two, adoration is not prayer. Prayer is asking for something. Adoring God is good. We're to adore Him. We ought to adore Him. Hey, Psalm 145 verse 3 says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." Hey, we ought to look up at Him and adore the greatness of our God. Adore Him. I want you to adore Him. But adoring Him is not praying, because praying is asking, and adoring is looking at what He is. Asking is asking for something that He's got, or praying is asking for something that He has. And so one of the reasons we don't get our prayers answered is because we don't ask. We thought that because we praised, we prayed, but we didn't. We thought because we adored Him, we were praying, but we were not. And we ought to adore Him. We ought to adore what He does for us. 1 Timothy 1:17 says, "Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever." Listen. We ought to adore the fact that He has an eternal existence. He always has been. He always will be. He's eternal. And I adore. I'm amazed. That is magnificent. But if I spend a bunch of time saying, "Oh God, You always have been. You always will be. You're the everywhere present one. You own everything. You are everywhere. Oh God, I've prayed." No, you haven't. You have adored. But you have not prayed, because praying is asking. We ought to adore the fact that He is the everywhere present one. It says in Jeremiah 23:24, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" I adore. What a quality. He is the everywhere present one. He is right now with us in Martinsburg, West Virginia. But wait a minute. I have a friend that pastors in England. He's there. I have friends that are down in Africa pastoring. He's there. I have a friend in Australia and a friend up in Canada and a friend in Mexico. He's there. He's with them all. What a magnificent quality. But because we talked about that quality does not mean we prayed. If you go to your knees and you adore the quality of Him being everywhere present, that's adoration, but that's not prayer, because prayer is asking. Hey, I think we ought to adore the fact that He knows everything. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are every place, beholding the evil and the good. Hey, that's fantastic. God sees it all. And what a quality. And I look at that and I say, you're a wonderful God. Hey, you see everything. But that's not praying. That's adoration. That's adoring Him. That's admiring His quality. He's the owner of everything. Job 12:10. It says, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. We should adore Him. He's the owner of everything, but that's not praying. Prayer is not adoration. Prayer is asking. Prayer is not praise. Prayer is asking. Prayer is not meditation. It's appropriate to meditate. The Bible calls it meditating, and sometimes the Bible calls it musing. Musing. The Bible says David mused while the fire burned. What's that word musing? That means concentrated. He was a thinker. The word that is opposite of musing is the word amusement. That's where you get amusement park. It's a non-thinking place. That's the biggest problem in America today. We want amused instead of musing. We would rather watch TV than read a book. We want to be amused, meaning no think. We live in a generation of no thinkers, when we need to have a generation of thinking people. And think on what? Think on these things. What things? The Word of God. But prayer is not meditation or musing. Psalm 1 verse 2 says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Hey, if you sit around and you think about the Word of God all the time, that is wonderful. But thinking about the Word of God is not praying, because praying is asking. So if you're on your knees and you're saying, well, I was thinking about this verse, God, and that's such a precious verse, and that's a wonderful verse, and I praise You for that verse, and oh, God, what a verse. You get up off your knees and that's all you did. You did not pray. You were thinking about the Word of God. And I want you to think about the Word of God. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I want you to think about the Word of God. I want you to adore Him. I want you to praise Him. But I'm here to say, you want to know why many people say, I just don't. Hey, some of us are virtually atheists when it comes to prayer. We never pray because we just about don't believe we're going to get what we pray for. But the problem is, most of us didn't ask for anything. We praised, which is good. We adored, which is good. We meditated, which is good, but we never got down to what we were doing. You ask the men that pray with me up here. I pray. I ask and 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 I ask. If we're on our knees for 20 minutes, I ask and I ask and I ask and I ask and I ask, because that's what prayer is. Meditating on God's blessing is good. We should all do that. But meditation is not prayer. The Bible never calls meditation prayer, because they're different. Psalm 63:6 says, we should meditate in the night watches. Listen to this. It says, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. If you lay in bed and think about God, that's meditation, but it's not prayer. Because thinking about God is not asking for anything, and prayer is asking. Hey, and we should meditate in the night. You know, we have in our bedroom, we have a very nice glass door that leads out into our patio. I like having the door open. I could sit there and I could see the stars. There's nothing like having a few moments where you can just look up into the stars and think about God. Just think, He's out there. What a wonderful universe. But I could sit there and stare at the stars for 2 hours and walk away and I have not prayed. I have meditated on his existence. Psalm 77 verse 12 says, we should meditate on his works. It says, I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Meditation is necessary. Like I said, we live in a society and we're a society of amusement instead of musement, and we need to meditate, but meditation and prayer are not the exact same thing. We should meditate on his works. The meditation of our hearts should be acceptable in his sight. The Bible says in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Whatever we meditate on, we shouldn't be thinking on things that's not pleasing in his sight. What you think on, you ought to think on the things that are pure, just, and of good report, and if there be any virtue and any praise, you ought to think on those things, the Bible says. Meditate on his things. Meditation's great. I want you to meditate. I want you to think. But I got to tell you, just because you meditate does not mean you prayed. Did you know that confession is not prayer? Listen to this. God, I did this. God, I did that. God, I shouldn't have done this. God, I shouldn't have done that. Did you hear me ask for anything? No, all I did was say, I did this. I did this. I did this. I did this. The only time that confession becomes prayer is when you confess and then you say, forgive me, please. Now I have asked for something in regard to my confession. Is this making sense to y'all? Am I the light's on, but nobody's home? Okay. Confession is only prayer when you ask for the forgiveness. And so, hey, and it's proper to confess. We are to confess our sins. Daniel 9:4, it says this, and I prayed unto the Lord and my God, and made confession. Now let me read it again because I want to point something out to you here. Daniel said, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession. Notice, Daniel prayed, that's one thing. And it says, and made my confession, two things, two totally separate things. Daniel said, I was praying and then I confessed. Because confession and prayer are not the same thing. The only part of confession that could be prayer is after I've confessed that I ask for forgiveness. Confession's proper. You need to confess. But strictly speaking, confession and prayer are not the same thing. We're to confess our sins. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession's good. We are to confess our faults one to another, the Bible says in James 5:16. But confession is not prayer. Confession is necessary. And I think confession is a forerunner for good prayer. I think clearing your heart up, confessing your sins, asking for forgiveness, it kind of fertilizes the ground so you can sow the seed of a request and you get your prayer answered. I think the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I think confession is necessary. I think you ought to confess before you go to prayer, but make sure you eventually go to prayer, because prayer is asking. Now listen, there are many Bible prayers that teach us that prayer is asking. For instance, the publican in the temple in Luke 18:13 said this, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now is he asking for something? Yes, that's prayer. Peter was about to sink in the waters of Galilee, and he said, Lord, save me! Was he asking for something? Yes. He was requesting. He said, save me! I'm praying to you, Jesus. Blind Bartimaeus, in Mark 10:47, he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. He asked for something. By the way, God had mercy on him. Jesus saved Peter. Why? Because he asked. The thief on the cross said, Lord, remember me. What was that? Prayer of salvation. He asked for something, and Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Why? He asked. He received. If that man on the cross was dying, and he would have said, well, you're a great God. You made the stars, the moon. You made all of that. Jesus wouldn't have said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Because adoring him will not save you. Asking him to save you and be your savior will save you. The Syrophoenician woman prayed in Matthew 15:22. Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She got something. Why? She asked for something. Too many people go to prayer like Mrs. Owens shops for shoes. You go and do all sorts of things before you get what you came for. And I'm not trying to be funny, or this isn't a man versus woman thing. What it is this. If you want to get something from God, then go ask for it. All those other things are good, but prayer is one of the primary things a Christian should do. When I go to prayer, I do it like I shop for shoes. I go in and say, Lord, I need you. I need your power tonight, please. I want the people to learn this. Please, I beg of you. Help me figure out a way. Please. I ask for something. Too many people say that they pray but receive nothing, but I think there's confusion there because I don't think they're asking for anything. Prayer is asking. There are those that groan, as they call it, in the spirit. This is what some people think prayer is. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. He's in heaven saying, what? What? If you want to pray, God's no dumb bunny. He's up there saying, what do you need? You have not because you ask not. When I pray, I ask for something. I ask God regularly. I mean, every day of my life. I say, oh God, use our ministry to save souls. Please, I ask for the souls of men. Every day, I say, dear God, may our church be partaker in the reclaiming of the backslidden. Please, bring the backslidden back to you as a result of our church services. Every day, I pray this prayer. God, I need money to run this ministry. I beg of you, provide our church's needs. I pray that every day. Day in and day out, I beg God that the offerings would be up and that God would provide our needs. Every day, God's answering prayers. Every day I say, God, I need unity. I need unity in my school. Please give me unity. God, I need unity in my church. Please. God, I need unity. The new people, the old people, I need a good mix. God, I need unity on my deacon board. I pray that. I pray for unity. I ask God for unity. I ask God to bring visitors to our church. I know this will seem strange to you. We have guests here tonight, and I'm glad they're here. But it's not a coincidence you're here. You know, I sit up here in my seat, and when the visitors stand, I look and I see them, I think, thanks, Lord. Thanks. Appreciate that. Appreciate you bringing them. I ask God to meet the specific needs of everyone on my staff every day of my life. I start with Mrs. Duke. She's the very first person on my staff on my prayer list, and then Mrs. Costa. Do you know that every day of my life I pray for Dolores Duke? I pray for her caregiving to her mama. I pray for her every day. I go through every single day, every single person that's on my staff, I pray for them by name. And I ask God to do something specific in every one of their lives. Mrs. Klaus, I pray for you every day of my life. I have not missed since I got here. And you have specific needs, and I pray for those needs. Every Sunday school teacher here, I have not missed one day. Every single day of my life, your name is spoken before God, and I say, oh, God, give Brother Ronnie power in his Sunday school class and keep him safe. See, Brother Ronnie works around a lot of big equipment. A lot of people get hurt. And Vanessa, I pray for your husband all the time. I say, God, please keep him safe. Keep him safe. Every day, specifics. Brother Tommy, I pray. Brother Tommy teaches out in a public school, and I pray that you'll be a good influence out there and that you'll help those kids because God knows they need some Christians out there to influence them. Every day. I ask God to be present in our services every day of my life. I come to a point in my prayer time, I say, Lord, please, I beg of you, be in our church services. Brother Nash, I say, oh God, be a part of the music in this whole church. The school, every day, Holy Spirit of God, roam up and down those school hallways. Be in every class, in every locker. I ask that every day. There are things that I ask constantly. Praise, I do that, and that's good. Adoration, I do that. It's necessary. Meditation, I love to meditate, and that's good. Confession, I never have to do that. Brother Tennis does enough for both of us. Confessing all of Mrs. Tennis's sins. No, I have to confess, and I do. But prayer is asking. And I feel a little silly because this is so simple. But I think the average Christian actually misses it. We spend our time on all those other things, and we thought that we prayed. We did a lot of good things. We tried a lot of shoes on. We got different colors. They had buckles. They had bows. They had a back. They had an open back. They were leather. They were plastic. We tried a lot of shoes on. And sometimes we'd never get done what we went to get. We don't accomplish what we wanted to accomplish. Do all of those things. I'm not against those things. I've exalted those things. But I'm trying to get you to realize why there's some of you, you say, I don't get anything in prayer. It's because you took 15 minutes to do all those other things and you asked for one thing. Prayer is asking. I challenge you. Pray. Pray. Begin to pray. Really pray. Start asking for some things and see what God will do. Because he said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He said, just check and see if I can't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you can't even handle. So why didn't that ever happen to me? How much time do you spend asking? Ask. Dr. John L. Rice wrote a song. Is there anything too hard for God to do? Is there aught beyond his power? He commanded us to open wide our mouths. We should ask our needs this hour. He said, we should ask and seek. Keep knocking at the door at Jesus' feet. We have not our need because we do not plead with Jesus. You have not because you don't ask. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If you're here tonight and you're a visitor and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I recommend to you that you ask him to save you tonight. If you're not saved, I'll tell you why you're not. You've never asked him. You've never asked him. I'm going to ask the pianist in a moment to begin to play. After she begins to play, I'm going to ask you to stand. And after we stand, we're going to open the altar. The men on the platform will take their places at the end of each aisle. If you're out there and you've never been saved, may I recommend Jesus Christ to you. Won't you just leave your seat in a moment, walk down this aisle, and you walk up to one of the men at the end of the aisle. Tell him you need to be saved. We'll have someone take a Bible and show you how you can ask Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior. You can leave this place having received what you ask for, because if you want salvation, he wants you to have it more than you want it. You can be saved tonight. Christian, ask. Ask. The altar will be open if you need it to come and pray. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Mrs. Doss, will you play this song? The altar is open. We won't be long. We won't take long. Ask. What do you need? Maybe you need to ask. You're here and you've been saved and never made it public. Will you come and make your salvation public? If you've made it public, but you need to be baptized, why don't you come and present yourself for baptism? Maybe you're looking for a church like this and you're not a member of our church. You can come and join fellowship. Maybe you just need to rededicate your life. You've gotten away from God. I'll promise you there are people in here who are backslidden in regard to prayer. It's easier to praise than to pray. It's a little more delightful. Prayer. Real prayer is asking for something. Real prayer is asking for time that Brother Nash will sing the song. If you need the altar, you may come. I'm so excited. I think somebody caught what I was teaching tonight, and you're going to have some fun. You're going to ask for some things, and you're going to get them, and you're going to say, wow, why didn't I do that a long time ago? Why didn't I try that a long time ago? But look at me for just a second. I want to teach more because I enjoy talking about this subject, but I want to tell you two little things. One is this. Every church service that the Keene family are here at church, their son Aaron and daughter Abigail, they wait for me when I come out of the building. Some nights they're here for 45 minutes while I've counseled and everybody's gone and the Keens are setting out here. The kids get out of the car when I approach my Ford Explorer to go home. And they walk over to me, and this is what Aaron Keene says to me after every service. He sticks his hand out like a little man, and he says, "Preacher, you need anything? You need anything?" Aaron's a little like God. He's got every day that you wake up, he's waiting outside for you, and he says, "Christian, need anything? Need anything?" And I'm going to give you one little piece of advice about prayer that, again, could revolutionize your life. Brother Tennis, prayer's hard for me. I have to work at it. I found a shortcut, though. One of the first things I pray and ask for is consistency in prayer. I say, "Oh, God, I want to pray. God, I want to be a praying preacher. I want my people to know I pray. I want them to know, I want to pray. Please help me to pray." Wouldn't it be wonderful if he answered that prayer request? Because all of us need somebody to help us to get it done, because it's work. If you could just train yourself to say, "Oh God, help me to pray," and if he answers that prayer, that may be the key to everything else. But you need to be a little bit, or we need to realize that God's a little like Aaron Keene. "Christian, need anything?" And then get to him and say, "There's something I need. I need help with prayer." And then that'll unfold so many wonderful things. I hope when you get to heaven and you go into that little room, your room's not totally full of wonderful gifts. You go in and it's half full. You say, "Well, what's this room?" St. Peter will say, "Well, those are the things that were left, but you got a lot of it. You got a lot of it. He met a lot of your needs because you asked." Brother Nash, why don't you come and lead us in our victory song?